Thank you for choosing to take the time out of your day to give over that sweet little mind to me for a little bit. I will make sure to take very good care of it and put it right back where I found it. But for the next, at least 20 minutes, I'm going to make very good use of it, because I have plans. And since you're here, I get the distinct feeling you enjoy the idea of those plans, and you'll probably want whatever silly thing it is I'm coming up with. At least that's the feeling I get. I could be wrong, though. I have been known to be wrong. Why don't we just contemplate where we're going today? Because you've already been there before if you've listened to anything I've ever put out. And if you haven't, well, this is a fun little ride where we all get together, focus, and create something beautiful. An interesting place made out of concepts created by our minds together. A shared delusion, an illusion created through well-spoken words placed correctly in a certain order to build this trance, this state, this place we're going to. Just letting your body grow more distant with each passing moment, giving yourself that opportunity to detach from reality. And as you do so, you can find yourself gently drifting away from the sensations of the world, the sounds, the feelings, all of it, as though my voice has simply scooped you up, drifted into your ears, and pulled you away from everything. The more that you can feel that, the more one can allow themselves to be present in these words. And by being present in these words, you can allow yourself to be woven into the tapestry of the story that we are creating. The more that you do so, the more that you fall away. That's the beauty of this sort of thing. It's an infinite loop, a recursive and simple, but incredibly potent experience, in which, by following directions, by listening, you will increase and intensify the experience. Even if you're just beginning at this, each time that you follow along, each time that you do as you're told, you will get better and better at it. In fact, I would imagine that if I was to remind you that my voice acts in a way almost like a lead, an anchor, a rope, a slide, whatever metaphor feels right, is it slipping down deeper into the dreamscape? Is it being pulled along by a leash? Or is it maybe simply that the whispers grow in intensity until they fill up everything inside of you, until that's all there is? I wonder what it's going to be today. But I do know one thing for sure, whether or not you slip, trip, drop, or fall into the dreamscape, you can feel the soft, buoying clouds all around you. That feels good, doesn't it? To give yourself that opportunity to just be here, be present in this place of possibility, potential, and ideas all around us, stretching infinitely throughout space and time. The beautiful thing about the dreamscape is it's not linear. It doesn't follow the same rules as our reality, and by simply attempting to comprehend it, you'll probably melt your mind a little. Not permanently. But it's a lot like taking a two-dimensional being and, well, sticking them into a three-dimensional world. They simply would not be able to understand why things are the way they are, looking at objects that have more than simple planes to them, just as one looks at a world made of pure possibility without time, an interconnection between all the cerebral moments of other minds. Oh, it's an overwhelming experience. But don't worry, you have a guide, and I already know where we're going today, to another lovely experience in a rather magical place. I can see the glimmer, I can feel it pulling me already, my intention, my goal, my desire, that swirling little point, and those cloud-like ideas and concepts. You can feel it tugging now, too, as I guide us that way. You can feel it pulling, twisting, spiraling, spinning, winding down. Down, down, into the intensity of that potent and powerful experience, the electrical, pink, magical portal that's formed, the one that will pull us into a place, a time, a space something three-dimensional and real outside of a world of possibilities. This is our bridge, and you can just let yourself sink into it as you fall and tumble out of the dreamscape, and before you know it, slipping into that body, feeling that it's not so different from your own, sitting at that desk, staring oh so mournfully out of a window, watching rain come down on a forested hill outside as the sun sets. You can smell tea wafting up from the cup below you. You've been so diligent about your studies today, little apprentice. You know this because, in this moment, my words have become reality, and you are present in it, feeling gravity pulling you into that chair of how absolutely bored you are. Hours and hours of reading through very old spellbooks. It's the worst, and you just really want to do something interesting. You didn't start studying magic because you wanted to understand why the ancient divine spirits need a certain particular offering because of whatever reason. You just want to give them the offering and do the spell. Why does it matter why they want it? Ah, you sigh, glancing over towards your witches, your master, or your mistress, I suppose, the teacher, towards her desk. And at her desk, you can see, sitting there, that forbidden tome, that secret book that you are so very interested in, the one that you have been told that you cannot touch, you cannot look into, you most certainly shall not read it. And she was very, very explicit in this when you first started studying with her, and you've been so good about it. But it's been over a year. You've even done summonings. You've managed to control a demon. To think you couldn't simply read a little bit of that book, just a tiny bit. Ah. You want to stand up and go look at it. And as you do, you trip over the chair slightly, stumbling and knocking your pen off the table. Goodness, what a little klutz. That's okay, though. No harm, no foul. You pick up the pen and carry on with your way. I mean, she's out this afternoon. It's not like she'd know if you looked. And of course, she might have cast a spell or two on it, but you're good at this, as you grab your wand out of your pocket, pulling it and carefully checking. Casting a little ring around that book, making sure there's no hidden spells, and there aren't. In fact, the book doesn't even seem to be magical from every bit of divination you can possibly do to peer into it without truly seeing the contents. Where's the harm in taking a quick peek? Couldn't possibly be anything untoward in there, other than information. Delicious, delicious information. Maybe there's even spells in there that'll let you transform more than just objects. Maybe even yourself. Maybe you can finally do that one thing you keep imagining when you see the witch mess with her appearance. But anyways, I'm sure you'll find out. When you take a look inside, I know that something will be revealed. But what isn't important yet? Because the you in this time and space doesn't know. So you carefully pick the book up, opening it ever so slowly to the very first page. It's blank. Completely blank, with nothing on it. Annoyed, you flip again to the next page. Blank again. Interestingly enough, you felt almost like, for a moment, that page was your whole world. For a brief instant, you were as blank as that page. You flip to the next page, and it's blank again. And still, you want to look further, so each time you flip that page, you feel, though, as though you are becoming more like it, more like that blank page, as your mind just drains of all thought, as though the words written upon the surface of it in crystal black ink, glimmering, were just blanked. As you flip into the pages, each time your mind blanks. And it blanks again, just as the pages do. You begin to shuffle through the pages, desperate to find information. You know that you could probably cast a spell on it, but you blank before you think about that as you flip to the next page, and then you blank as you flip to the next page, and so on and so forth, as your head just swims with blankness, as you lose track of time, carefully turning the pages as though you were reading it, certain that there was some reason that you were doing this, uncertain of who, where, why, what, just blank, blank. Letting that pulsating, wonderful blankness, it rolls over you like an orgasm almost, in blankness. The more that you give in to that blankness of the blanking pages that just push away, the more pleasure you feel. It feels so good to just do that, that you've lost all track of time and space until you faceplant right into the book unconscious. Unable to think, completely blank, no thoughts. Sometime later, you feel a soft hand on your shoulder, nails like talons dragging across the top of your tunic. It's the witch. You want to snap out of the blankness as that emotional reaction occurs, but you can't, trapped in that wonderful blank, as she lifts your head, turns you to face it all the way around in her grip. You can see her face, and she looks so disappointed. And you can even hear the words that she says, but you simply can't take them in. Oh, well, you shouldn't be surprised. Of course you are going to look in there eventually. I swear if I lose another apprentice to this, I am going to give up on them entirely. You just had to look, didn't you? You really thought you were smart enough to figure out the enchantments used to protect that tome. They are older than some of the spell books you think are ancient, dear. That magic is powerful, and from the looks of it, you have absorbed quite a bit of that. Very potent stuff. Goodness, it'll be a wonder if you can even keep a train of thought for a month. And that's assuming I don't mess up when I try to get you back into one piece. Oh, you poor little fool. Well, I suppose I could just enjoy you like this for a while. I mean, after all, you did break the rules, and I have definitely told you what would happen if you did that, that you would spend the next month as my familiar, not as my student. And you are so very cute when your eyes are like that, all glazed over and glossy with mindlessness. I love how I can just pass my fingers back and forth, and all you do is stare blankly. Oh, look at that little smile. You like this deep down. Yeah. You can't think enough to figure it out, but I know that you do, because you're smiling a little. Oh, how precious. Yes, I think this will do. I think I can enjoy this for a bit. Oh, let me just slip my hands down you a little. Drag my talons across you. You're so blank, I bet everything's going to feel wonderful, as you just feel my claws go down the sides of your arms. Just send little ripples of electricity up to that blanked out brain. Oh, look at that smile. Yeah, you were meant for this. Let's see here. Well, I do want a cute familiar. And I could imagine that you would look very adorable with some rather cute attire on. Yes, after all, you're not going to be my apprentice, and familiars have a very simple purpose, additional conduits for magic. And if you're going to be an additional conduit for magic, we really don't want you to be wearing much. I'm sure you remember, well, not right now you don't, but you will in about a month, that in order to act as a familiar, at least close to total nudity is required, because the more air contact with your skin, the more exposure to mana there is. Which is why, as I'm sure you remember, I like to wear this. She says, gesturing down at the very scantily clad leotard-like summoner's robe that she wears, with just the faintest swishes of fabric making it qualify somewhat as a robe. And I think, if you're going to be my familiar, I should dress you in something equally adorable that shows off absolutely everything to the energy that I want passing through you. You smile happily and nod as some semblance of clarity returns now that you're no longer staring into the infinite blankness of that book. But you find it hard to hold a thought for longer than a few seconds. You still know everything you did before, but utilizing it is rather difficult, especially with how pretty the witch looks in front of you. You just smile and nod as she plays with you, teasing you with her hands, letting them slip up and down all over the place, till she places one of her talon-like nails under your chin and gently lifts you to a standing position, and in seconds has you stripped naked. As you stand there dopily, smiling, blissed out, staring ahead at such a beautiful, beautiful being. Oh, I think I'm going to give you a matching outfit. Well, it's going to match in the sense that it's going to cover almost nothing. I know you've always been so self-conscious about showing off your body. And of course, you know, it is a little difficult since you came from a noble family where they're so uptight about those things. But I think I did a very good job with recruiting you. I mean, you've come a long way since then. To think before that I couldn't even get you to disrobe in front of me. Oh well, I think now you'll see the wisdom of my ways. Can't you feel the magic crackling across your skin? And with a flourish, she drags her nails through the air, sending bolts of tingling purple winding through the air in strange slow motion, spiraling lightning cracks as though they were seeking ground until they touch on your nipples, on your groin, and all across your skin as they spread out. As you look and can see just barely from the edge of your vision, what's happening? The witch steps out of the way, unblocking the mirror across the room, and you notice that you are suddenly wearing something somewhat reminiscent of her revealing summoner outfit. However, it has been perfectly suited to you, showing off and squeezing and holding in all the parts that should be, making you feel so vulnerable and embarrassed. You're certain of that. And yet that crackling, purple, tickling, pleasurable energy is still present in the garment, as though it never went away, as though it just coalesced into a visual shape. It's as though it's swimming across you like liquid, orgasmic bliss. You drool slightly, unable to stop at the pleasure so much that it almost sends you back to the blank pages of nothingness, but this time filled with absolute orgasmic bliss. Oh, look at that, you're already drooling, and to think I haven't even told the outfit to give you a nice little bit of attention. I mean, as I'm sure you recall from Bartholomew's 7th expeditionary into the Arcana, as, after all, that was your required reading this week, that arousal can be used to conduct magic, as I'm sure you can feel. It's probably getting kind of hard to even hold a second for more, then a second for more, then a second for more thought. Oh, look at you trying to understand my gibberish. That's so good. Your eyes practically cross as you stare blissfully ahead, feeling the outfit gripping, squeezing, and yet so totally revealing, the flowing fabric falling down between your legs. Almost like a very open toga or slit dress, or kind of like a tabard without the top half. Oh, you look so good like that. You know it, even though it's not your normal style, even though it's showing off a lot more than you ever thought you would. You can't help but smile as the witch steps around behind you and drags her talons across your skin, and this time you glow like a plasma globe being touched as lightning coalesces around the witch's fingers and flows out and into her, and she just lets out the most delightful little cackling moan. Oh, that feels good, my little toy. I'm really enjoying this. I have to admit, maybe I should just give up on having apprentices. Familiars are just so much more enjoyable. Yes, I do think that I could get used to having you around like this. Though, maybe in a month or two, I might do a little bit of transformation work on you. That's assuming you want to stay like this. She brushes her hands up and down again, sending those lightning bolts through you, and all you can think is, yes, yes, this is so much better than the reading better. Oh, your mind just electrified as those hands send arcs through your mind. Yes, if I feel like it. I think I could even give you some cute cat ears, or pup ears. Ooh, or fox ears, or dragon horns if I find a good pair of scales to use for the base enchantment. Oh, there's so many possibilities, my little familiar, but for now, I think I'll just keep you mostly human. Yes, I think I'll probably want to take you out to town tomorrow to show off how far you've fallen. You silly little dits. You can't help but giggle at the reminder that you really are a silly little ditz at this point. Sure, you have all that information you stored in your head, and if the witch was to ask you a very direct and straightforward question, you probably could answer it. But gosh, it sure is hard to have a thought all on your own. Before you know it, she's fashioned an arcing energy chain out of nowhere, affixed it to the front of your outfit, the top of that leotard-like bodysuit, clipped it right to it, because there's a collar there, and she's leading you right out of her beautiful little cottage. And you love it, don't you? Because every time she pulls that chain, it sends a lightning arc of pleasure from the top of your head right down into your groin, as though you were a lightning rod for orgasmic bliss. The witch hums to herself as she walks happily, leading her newest toy behind her. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this. I can't wait to hear what Grimhilda says when she sees you like this. And she had such high hopes for you. I told her, though, after what I saw you looking at on that scrying orb, there was no way you were going to last a whole year and a half. But you are so much cuter like this. Smiling and ditzy. Oh, my poor little familiar. That's okay. I promise I'll make the next month a delight. In fact, it may be so delightful that you never, ever want to go back to how you were before. But I do promise I'll give you the option. After all, that was the bargain, and those are the rules. And as you know, following the rules is not a law, but a fact in magic, my dear. If you don't follow the rules, the magic bites back. Then again, that was one of the first things I taught you, and you didn't even manage to keep that in that silly, ditzy little head of yours. And with a yank, you're guided off down the trail towards the town, glowing with embarrassment at how revealed you are, in an outfit unlike anything you've ever worn. Feeling now the pull of a swirling vortex in your head, gently guiding you back to the dreamscape, feeling it pulling you out of that space, that time, that blankness, allowing you to become aware of who you are outside of that reality, in this one once more, feeling present and aware, becoming more and more conscious with each passing second, letting go, leaving behind everything except for the delightful memory and joy that you took in that experience. As you pass back into the dreamscape once more, as you give yourself the opportunity to just flicker in. Now, I'm going to help you get all the way back to reality in just a sec. Just take a nice deep breath. Let it fill you up and feel your body becoming more and more present with each breath. One, drifting up. Two, more and more. Three, feeling so wonderful. Four, better and better. Five, letting gravity pull on you again. Six, becoming aware of the noises in the room, your thoughts. Eight, almost present. Nine, ready to be awake once more. And 10, wide awake, feeling wonderful, refreshed, and hopefully having had a blast. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to me today. And if you did happen to enjoy this, please check me out elsewhere. I have all sorts of lovely things to offer, from art to writing to something extra.